title.
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not going to take it anymore.
I'd like to help you catch it if I really, really would, but the feeling in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel shouting people roar, and I'd like to give you information, asking for what blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can't really hear you in the flickering of fear.
Senses not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number three, and you are listening to the Common Sense Show, where we are freeing America one enslaved mind at a time, and we're really glad to be back with you. Thanks so much to Bob Griswold and, of course, to Doug Hagman for joining us in the first 2 hours. We have a jam-packed hour here with an interview that I did with Ronnie McMullen. It is fascinating, and of course we have the legendary G. Edward Griffin at the bottom. So Todd, let's go ahead and let's roll the interview with Ronnie, and I'll tell you folks, don't go anywhere. This is great. Hi, this is Dave Hodges of the Common Sense Show, where we are freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. This segment is brought to you by GetTheTea.com, and if you're looking to improve your health and as a good byproduct losing weight, GetTheTea.com is really the way to go. We're going to talk about the product in some depth and detail, or the products, I should say. But here to join us is the founder of GetTheTea.com, and we're going to be talking about post-election results. And we're going to talk about where the country's going to go, what's going on currently, and I'll tell you, there's so much to talk about, and we've got to squeeze it into one small segment. So without further ado, let me bring on Ronnie McMullen, the founder of GetTheTea.com. Ronnie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. How are you doing, Dave?
I'm doing terrific. I have to tell you, my personal bias coming through, the sun shone a little brighter today. We're moving forward here, and Trump's moving towards the transition period, and I think that better days are ahead for our country if Trump can weather the storm.
A storm he has. I think that we need to be praying for the fact of his safety, because the establishment is rattled.
Boy, that's putting it mildly. I'm sure you saw in the post-election time the protests and, you know, the outbreak of sporadic violence, clearly George Soros inspired. And let me just share with you a quick anecdote, and we'll kind of use this as a launching point. I live in the Phoenix area, as you know. I live north of Phoenix in the country, in the outer regions of Maricopa County. And I had a contact shortly after the election, the day after. And what we found, Ronnie, was this person was extremely upset, very sincere. There's talk inside their office with Helen Purcell overseas, the county clerk and recorder, that they found Trump ballots in a dumpster that had been uncounted, and it gets worse. We know about the George Soros voting machines here in Maricopa County. In fact, Channel 3, the local independent affiliate, ran a story on that about 13 days before the election, said that when you put in all Republicans, it came out all Democrats, you know, Clinton for Trump, in other words. And then one other thing this person told me, very germane to the issue, is there were strange people pouring through their office that they'd never seen, going over the votes. And this person said, we are in charge of counting the votes, and some of that's been taken away from us. And, you know, the Arizona vote totals aren't supposed to be released until almost 2 weeks after the general election. So, wait, that's a mouthful, but I just wanted to throw that out to you for a launching point.
Well, I really think that, first of all, what happened to the old days? You know, the old days, whether you're Democrat or Republican or liberal even, you made a choice and that was it. You went home and you hoped for the best. Now we have to have protests. And, of course, the people that are protesting, I always kind of take a peek at that. And, when somebody writes over their forehead, this is not my president, and they write it on their forehead, you kind of think, at least for me, and I don't want to judge, but I guess I am, I think, wow, what kind of person would write on their forehead, period, anything? You know, I mean, it was like, this is the lowest of the lows, the frequency of low. I mean, this is bordering on maybe even stupid. So I could not believe what's going on, and the people throwing rocks at police officers. And I, sometimes I wonder, you know, these are all people that wanted Hillary, which is the absolute corruption, the absolute king or queen of corruption, and they wanted her to win. I'm lost here with where our nation is. I'm lost with where our people are in their minds, even if they're in their mind. I don't know. I've never seen anything like this. It's very, very disturbing.
No, I'm right there with you, Ronnie. In the lead up to the election, I would occasionally like to engage people who were going to vote Democratic primarily, and in particular vote for Clinton. And some of these people I knew, you know, were reasonable people, and they were honest people. And in my frustration, I said to a couple of them, how can you look at your children and tell them to go to school, obey their teachers, be respectful, obey the nation's laws, respect your parental authority, you take them to church on Sunday? How can you do all that and then vote for the biggest serial criminal in American political history with all the documentation that's there? And these reasonable people, it's almost like a switch got flipped. A Manchurian candidate, they would go into a trance-like state reminiscent of the movie The Stepford Wives,
yeah,
and they couldn't even talk about an issue. What about the emails? Doesn't that bother you? And they would just go into some kind of free zone mentally where you couldn't reach them. Did you find that too, Ronnie?
I absolutely found it. I mean, you know, we need to ask Vince Foster about Hillary and Bill Clinton. That's right, we can't because he was murdered. So, you know, I just think that there's an issue here of the corruption going to the highest levels. And we have to understand that it's not just the Clintons. We have a mass media that is pushing the Clintons to win. I watch CNN, the haters. You want to talk about, you know, I see it's interesting. They're always seeing Trump as a hater. But I look at CNN, you want to talk about hate. You want to talk, Anderson Cooper hates Mr. Trump. I mean, I just think it's really wild to watch the news supportingly, it's not really news propaganda, but trying to put all of the news forward that, you know, poor Hillary, she's such a wonderful person, and never ever bringing up that our nation has been compromised. You know, five different countries know our privates. I mean, I am literally speechless. I am speechless with where we are.
I get baffled, too. I mean, the attraction to Clinton, or the at least the affiliation with Clinton, defied all logic.
Yeah.
And it just, I mean, I'm thinking, you know, it's not even a Democrat-Republican issue.
No.
It's not a pro-Obamacare, anti-Obamacare issue. It was just, do we want a sociopathic criminal who will lead us into World War III, destroy the economy, and also who's a fourth-degree coven witch, and this is from people who've run her campaigns before saying this. I just don't get it. I don't know how you'd want to put someone like this in the White House. I have to tell you, the night of the election, and I'm sitting in my office, got the laptop out, and I was in constant prayer, Ronnie, and my desperation was coming out. And I'm thinking, we are so lost, and by a miracle, we've been given a reprieve.
We have. The kicker is, and again, you know, I don't want to rain on the parade here, but I hope that, I mean, I was looking at Barack Obama, and some of the things that Barack Obama is saying, and it's interesting when you look at, you know, Donald Trump and how he brought out so many truths when he called on Barack Obama saying, we don't even know if you're born in the United States. And he went down that road, and boy, people were upset. And I'm finding that the people are they're very upset about truths that literally Donald Trump, and yes, he's not polished. You know, he says some things he probably shouldn't be saying. But on the same token, his heart just goes forward and he says truths. And I almost see this election, unfortunately, is light against dark, establishment against people. And the establishment got pushed back with Donald Trump being elected. The kicker is if he's going to make it and to his final destination. I think we need to be very much praying for his safety, because the establishment's not liking the pushback.
No, I couldn't agree with you more on that. The establishment, or I like to call them the globalists, are 0-2 when it comes to nationalism. See, this election in my mind was Brexit 2. You know, Brexit 1, the British people said, no, we're not going to be overrun with undocumented immigrants who want to make us change our ways, and we're not going to give in to your free trade agreements that bankrupt our people. We're not going to do it, so we're out. And this election was a reinforcement of that same principle across the pond.
Well, I think it's interesting that you know, Donald Trump is coming against climate change, which I thought was really kind of a wonderful thing, because climate change is another word for geoengineering, which is the first words for that were actually chemical trails. So this is something that no one has been addressing, and obviously Donald Trump made a comment, this was, you know, many months ago, about the, I think it was Iowa is where he was, talking about the Monsanto corn, and it must be affecting their brains. So he's pretty bold with some of his comments, and maybe they should be a little more polished. But on the same token, it shows that he is not pro-establishment, which is Monsanto or Uranium One or all the things that Hillary Clinton's involved with. And so I think, like I said, again, we really need to be praying for him and putting our energy forth that for his safety, because I think there's something going on with his vice president as well. I could be very wrong here, but it looks like he's not buddies with Pence. And
yes, yeah.
That's what I feel. I could be wrong in what I'm seeing, but we need to know something else. Pence is an establishment boy. So if something happens, they're going to get back what they're wanting. So again, I think, you know, the good Lord's in charge here, but on the same token, things could change quickly if we're not staying up on this war of prayer.
Ronnie, I am so glad you brought up Pence, and that's such an astute observation. I, you know, one of the things I do is I teach college level sociology and psychology, and I teach body language as part of communications. And I was reading the body language of Pence and Trump. First of all, when Pence came out, this man should have been jumping through his skin. He's just been handed the opportunity of a lifetime, heartbeat away from the presidency, and I saw an under-enthusiastic response on the podium.
Yep.
And I'm talking body language. He wasn't demonstrative in his gestures, as you'd expect. He just won the championship.
Yep.
And it's kind of like it's just another day at the office to him. And then when Trump came out, you know, if you recall back to Joe Biden and Barack Obama and any other president, vice president-elect, when they've just realized they've won, they're hugging and embracing, and their families are doing the same thing. It's a jubilation.
Yep.
We didn't see any of that.
Oh, we didn't see anything at all. I don't think I could catch even a smile. I mean, I didn't even catch a smile off of Trump looking. You know, it was almost kind of like, oh, yeah, and, you know, thank you, Mr. Pence kind of idea. You know, I mean, it's like, oh, my gosh, not even... And, you know, I wonder, and I know this is going to be maybe on the conspiracy line, but I just almost wonder if the establishment went to Pence and said, look, just in case he wins, you know, we're going to set this up. You're going to be here. We'll remove him. You'll be president. So just stay with us. And I could be wrong on that, but you don't know what goes on behind closed doors.
Yeah, when the locker room tape surfaced, I thought Pence was going to quit the race based on his initial impression, my initial impression of him, and I noticed a sea change immediately, and I would agree with you. I suspected intervention outside, you know, Donald Trump's influence.
Yeah.
Now, you know how I say, I'm going to talk about conspiracy? Let's put our tinfoil hats on, Ronnie, and share this moment.
I like this time. It's fun.
But I'll tell you what I've alluded to, and I talked to Steve Quayle and Doug Hagman about this privately, and I've written about it kind of like I've beat around the bushes, but now I'm going to say it openly. I think it's 1980, and we're looking at an unholy marriage between Ronald Reagan and George H.W. Bush, and Ronald Reagan walks out from a hotel shortly after he's inaugurated, and he is almost killed, and the ultimate globalist CIA former director H.W. almost got to take over, and Pence is a free trade agreement guy. He's a globalist through and through. And I think it was a deal that the Republican Party made with Trump to support him at all coming out of the convention. I think he had to take him just like Reagan. Do you remember how it happened with Reagan? In fact, I'll share this with you. I'm waking up one morning. It's 1980, and I had just read Patrick Wood's book on the Trilateral Commission, and Ronald Reagan comes out, and when he's running against H.W. in the primary, he says, well, he's a trilateral. We don't want a trilateral running the White House. He's not loyal to the country. He's, you know, for internationals. Yep. And 2 days later, they kissed and made up, and that was the ticket. And I think that's what we're seeing here, and I think Donald Trump's life is in extreme danger, and Pence will be the beneficiary of it.
I have to agree with you on that. I hope not. I hope not. But I have to agree with you on that. This is what I've seen. The establishment knows no boundaries. They have no morals. They have nothing. I mean, to the point of using geoengineering, and they're poisoning their own. So, I mean, I don't feel like they have much IQ either. They just have power controls. But what I'm seeing with this Pence and Trump issue is making me very, very nervous. And like I said, I almost wonder if he's even going to make it to January. So it's, I'm watching the nation divide, and that's really scary because it tells me that, you know, it's almost like your next door neighbor is like, oh my gosh, could he be this? And this is not even counting if we're really going to get our tinfoil hats on, which I kind of like doing that. We can see that the person that will probably take out Trump is going to be an MK person that is basically assassin. And so it'll be some random somebody that no one knows that supposedly is mental, but it's just like the Manchurian candidate. It's going to be the same exact thing.
Well, it'll be, if your theory here holds correct, and I pray that it doesn't, but I think what you're saying has merit, because we look at the major assassinations from the 60s, and even extrapolate that into the police ambushes that have happened here recently. Here's what we've seen: a lone nut assassin who kept a written dialogue or diary of what they were going to do and then acted upon it. And that's the standard MO for the globalists who want to carry out hits.
Well, and this is the thing, is when you look at Trump and what he stands for, he's not for Monsanto. He's not for Big Pharma. He wants to repeal health care. I mean, he's got all the right thoughts going on, you know. And so the globalists don't like this. The establishment's really ticked right now. And you know what? I'm not saying that this is going to happen. It just seems to be maybe the plan, because if you look back and you go back in time and you look at the presidents that have been assassinated, they were all getting ready to do something very good. They were getting ready to come against the establishment. You know, Kennedy wanted to come against the establishment. And yes, he was establishment, but there was a line in his morals. He's like, we need to bring some things out, and this is, you know, it cost him. And of course, Bush was behind that as well. So, it's, I think, we have some times ahead of us that's going to be very, challenging.
Yeah, as we speak about this, you know how you get a feeling in your bones that you're on target? That's the feeling that I have right now. And I'm willing to bet that a good number of the people listening to this broadcast right now are getting the same feeling. And it's always the same MO every time. And I agree with it. It'll be an MK Ultra kind of hit. Now, the one thing that can overcome all that, and I don't care if this offends anybody, is God made it possible, I believe, for Donald Trump to win this election. And I believe if this nation continues to turn to him in prayer, as undoubtedly millions did on Election Day, I think that God's going to be true to his word. I don't think I know. And I think that he'll have an umbrella of protection around Donald Trump. And I think that if we as people here will continue to be faithful to the Lord, because I've noticed a distinct turning towards the Lord. I've had people come on my show and pray, Ronnie, like you've never seen. You know, Steve Quayle, Sheila Zielinski, and I believe this collective spirituality can keep Donald Trump safe as long as we're true in our faith.
I think it's very possible, and I look for this to take place. If something happens to Donald Trump, we're going to see a side of people that we're really not going to want to remember. There's going to be a lot of people saying, oh, you know, I'm sure glad that happened, and we're going to see some very, very ugly stuff. But on the same token, I do believe the God of this universe is going to step in, and if people get too outrageously crazy, we're going to see some natural disasters that are going to blow people's minds. And that is what I see coming.
I think you're right. That's the Sodom and Gomorrah factor. And I think you're right on the money with that. There's no, absolutely no question about that, Ronnie. And I've been expecting that already. I'm surprised it hasn't already happened. But we're looking right now, if Hillary Clinton had won this election, and we would have been living under sheer tyranny. There's globalists, and there's the evilest globalist, and she's the most evil of them all. I couldn't pick a person in America to run this country who could be more dastardly than that person. So we dodged a really big bullet, but it's not over.
And I think it's interesting too, the people that are out there and causing all this havoc, they're coming against Trump, but I thought it was interesting as I was watching, they're also not happy that Hillary was the one that represents the Democratic Party. So they were saying, hey, this is really, really bad. So, you know, I don't think picking up rocks and protesting, and I don't believe that's the way to take care of issues. But, you know, I guess that, you know, when you're on a lower frequency, it all gets crazy. So.
Oh, yeah, you're right about the lower frequency part. Well, we're out of time for this segment, but before we go, I wanted to spend a few minutes. I want to talk about GetTheTea.com. Everywhere I turn now, Ronnie, I'm being exposed to this product through people I know, people I trust, like Lisa Haven, and she firmly believes in this product, as I've come to believe in this product. So, our products, I should say, but people identify with the tea, but actually, the products you have available go way beyond tea, don't they?
They really do. Again, real quick, I started this company because I was jacked up myself. I was sick. I'm not a doctor fan. Not that I don't like doctors, but unfortunately, the whole healthcare issue is much like our politics. There's corruption everywhere. So a doctor now, not the old-time doctors, but the doctors now, they're more interested in getting us on pharma than they are in any kind of nutrients whatsoever. We wouldn't need pharma. We wouldn't even need supplements if our food had not been changed by man. So I'm going after not just your normal A, B, C, D vitamins and supplements. I'm going on after problems that happen to your body and seeing if I can help, really, it's your body heals itself, it just needs some help. Find those products to put into your body so that your body gets better naturally. Herbs are very powerful. So, and this is really what the tea is. The tea is 8 different herbs that go to town, detox you, and let me tell you something, people. You need a detox because you have no idea what you're eating, and you really don't. And you don't know what you're breathing, and you don't know what you're drinking. It looks good, it might even taste good, but it's not good. So this is going to get rid of the toxins by drinking the tea, and if you follow the directions, it's a wonderful thing, and it works. That's the big key.
Well, one of the things that people tell me is a great byproduct that, you know, obviously people love for the vanity reasons, is you lose weight. If you have an unhealthy diet or have had an unhealthy diet, this will clean you out, and a good byproduct is you'll fit into those jeans you haven't worn for a while.
Well, people don't realize, and for the people out there that you're carrying some extra pounds, I'll just give you a couple of tips real quick. If you're drinking Diet Coke, stop, because it's set up for you to be addictive. It's also set up that you will never lose weight with Diet Coke because there's other elements that are inside the product itself. So you will not ever lose weight drinking Diet Coke. You're better off drinking straight Coke, and you're actually better off not drinking any of it. But point being is, I used to drink the junk food. I used to drink this stuff, and I used to eat this stuff. And let me tell you something, you have no idea what they and them are doing to you through the food chain. So it tastes good, but it's not good. And if I started talking about raw vegetables and this and that, I'd lose everybody. They go, oh my God, I can't do that, you know. But you have to start looking at, do you want to eat to live or do you want to eat to die? So when you're talking about the tea is going to go after all the garbage that's left in you after you've digested and eaten that food. People wonder why they're having gut problems, because all disease starts in our stomach, in our gut. So when you have a gut problem, you're on your way to being sick. And this is something where I'm going, I don't want to be sick anymore, and I don't want people to be sick anymore. So let's go after this with a great attitude, and let's do what we can, because God made herbs. Herbs were here before man. God made herbs, and God didn't make pharma, so man made pharma. So these are some huge issues that we can do, and losing weight, the tea will automatically do that because it's your colon. And again, I want to remind people, our wonderful, I love this actor, John Wayne. He was one of my favorites. I love the Westerns. John Wayne, when he died, had over 70 pounds of sludge in his colon.
Oh.
Now, when that is clogged, your organs can't breathe. They can't pull from your colon. They can't get the nutrients, and things happen to you. So please understand, as much as I love John Wayne, if I could have met him and knew him clear back when, maybe something would have been changing. But my point to this is, you will lose weight because your colon gets clean, and everybody has a different amount of whatever in there. So that's why you lose weight. Once that colon's clean, your weight loss won't be happening anymore. So I don't want people think it's a weight loss program. But if you're, say, 50 pounds overweight and you start taking my tea for regularly, you're probably going to lose 15 to 20 pounds.
What kind of time frame are we looking at for most people?
For me, I was 200. I'm going to go back in time many years. But I was 200 and almost 60 pounds. I was 6 foot tall. And in 3 months, just taking the tea, never changing my diet, never changing exercise, any of that, I lost 26 pounds.
Did your body chemistry change at all?
Oh, man, did it ever. You know, you start having energy. You start, you know, when you lose weight, 20-something pounds, just take some barbells and we'll run around the block once and go, wow, that's a, you know, I just lost this weight. So when you lose weight, then you go, hey, maybe I'll change this and maybe I'll change that. I gave up soda. There was another one. And, of course, I had stomach problems. So I gave up bread, and basically I'm gluten intolerant. Boom, another 20 or 30 pounds came off. So, you know, now I sit right around 195 to 200 pounds. And, you know, a lot of that's muscle because I work out now. So it's really kind of a wonderful change. And for those of you that are just going, I just never had any luck, you will have some luck. And if you just listen into my YouTube channel at Health Matters Now, you get little tips. And I'll tell you how to do this in an easy way, because I had to do it. And, you know, so many times you go, oh, geez, all this exercise, and you got to do this, and you got to do... Who can do that? Seriously. But if you just start with a little bit, you know, you drink the tea, a little bit of exercise, a little bit of diet change, you don't have to do it all at one time. You're just going to see the weight fly off, and that's not just the weight. You're going to see your energy come way up. You're going to see your complexion change. You're going to see your hair change. I mean, I can go on and on and on. Your body feeds off the colon. The colon's clogged, you're in trouble.
Wow, that's, you know, it's such a convincing case. But, you know, if you think about it, I tend to look at these products as God's medicine. It's kind of like the first line of defense. And Big Pharma came after this with synthesized models of what we already do naturally. Is that a proper way to look at that?
That's a proper way to look at that. And here's the thing, and I always say this is real simple terms. So for those of you that are going, well, I like my pharmaceutical, and it's easy, and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, if you're on diabetes, I'll get my blood sugar down just by taking pills, and I can still eat my cake, and blah, blah, blah. You're going down the wrong road, because I always tell the doctor, I go, okay, doc, so here's the deal. I'm going to take this, let's say it's blood pressure medicine. I'm going to take this blood pressure medicine, and it's going to bring my blood pressure down, right? And he says, yeah, it's going to do that for you. And I go, okay, so what if I stop it? Oh, if you stop it, your blood pressure will go up. So really what he just said, he's not healing or curing me at all. So this is about money. This is about making money, because they have the knowledge to cure cancer. There are cures for cancer out there. There are cures for diabetes. A lot of these diseases, they developed in labs. So this, they have the cure. But they if as long as they don't give us the cure, then they have residual income. And this is the kicker. If you look at how many billions of dollars that maybe diabetes brings or high blood pressure, all these things, and believe me, when they're putting, you know, aluminum and barium in the air and in your water, this is also jacking you up. So you wonder why you're getting Alzheimer's early. So again, cleansing your body is like numero uno. I mean, very, very important. And losing weight and getting fit. I mean, how can we fight the good fight if we're sick in bed? That's the big question.
Exactly. And you know, one of the things that I talk a lot about on my show is preparedness. And we talk about food and water and so forth. But you're not going to get your prescriptions filled, people, if product stops moving. Those just-in-time delivery stop, well, so is your medicine. So maybe you should start to explore more natural means to maintain your health. And it'll be a lot cheaper. It'll be a lot less invasive. And I think you'll be a whole lot healthier. Well, we've been talking with Ronnie McMullen. Boy, what a fascinating segment this has been with regard to what's going on in the interim period here between the inauguration and, of course, and the election that just took place. Ronnie, thanks so much for joining us. Always a pleasure. GetTheTea.com is the place to go. And if you forget that, just at the end of my articles, most of my articles on thecommonsenseshow.com, you'll see an ad for GetTheTea.com, and don't put this off and make sure that you stock up. Thanks, Ronnie.
Thank you so much, Dave.
Well, that was our interview with Ronnie McMullen. And man, that was, wow. He was a really good talk show host. I'm sorry he got out of it. I still wish we had him in the ranks. But we're trying our best right now to get a hold of G. Edward Griffin. And I'm sure we will here shortly. Todd is working on that as we speak. And there is something that we're going to discuss, but why I pull this up, let me just tell you very quickly. You know, if you think there's any chance that we're going to have social disruption and that critical resources are going to be imperiled in terms of delivery, I mean, your grocery store, what do they get? 3 to 6 just-in-time deliveries every single day. If that goes away, how long until the shelves are empty? Care to take a guess? 3 days? Nope. 2 days? Nope. Now we're being told the afternoon of the first day of the realization that there's a problem. People's primal instincts will take over, straight to the store, straight chaos. And where do you think the police are going to be? What happened during Hurricane Katrina? What happened in that? Police walked off the job. And I can't say I entirely blame them. They had families to worry about. They had themselves to worry about. And they were kind of left out on an island, no pun intended. And they walked off the job. You're not going to get prescriptions. You're not going to get water. You're not going to get food. The gun stores will already have been looted. So let's start with food. What can you do with food? Well, what you can do with food is store it up. Go to pneumonia.com/Hodges. Hang on just a second here. I've got G. Edward Griffin calling me. Hello? Yeah, Ed, we're trying to call you. Can you hang up and I'll have my producer try to call you again? Okay, yeah, Todd, I see your note here that Ed's number is busy. He's just disconnecting, so give it just a second here. But anyway, long-winded commercial for Pneumonia Foods. I really believe in what they do. It's restaurant quality, best priced, and I encourage you to compare. But for the quality you get, the price you get, there's no equal. And then they have little made packages for your needs. I mean, my favorite is the grab-and-go bucket. I mean, grab it and go and get out of town quickly. And I can't stress that the time is upon us. If the other side is going to do a false flag, and if they're going to perpetrate something along the lines that you hear about every week on this show, now's the time. Website, pneumonia.com/Hodges. Coupon code for 5% off. Hodges, H-O-D-G-E-S, N-O-V-5. That's pneumonia.com Hodges. Well, we've got G. Edward Griffin. Sorry about the slight delay there here, but this is live radio, and sometimes that's what happens on live radio. Ed, our time is short. I want to welcome to the show. It's been, gosh, 6 years since I've had you on. Ed is, if you're new to this movement, the author of one of the most famous books from our movement, The Creature from Jekyll Island. What a great work that was. It's one of the classics of all time. And Ed's here to talk to us about what he anticipates coming out of the Obama administration with Agenda 21. And he's also got a conference he's going to be putting on that we want to make the country aware of. Hi, Ed. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks, David. It's a pleasure to be back on your show. Yeah, it has been quite a while, and a lot of water has gone under the bridge since then, hasn't it?
Oh, my gosh. It's like we're not even the same country yet. It's just absolutely incredible.
I know. These are exciting times. I used to think that it was wonderful to live in exciting times, but I'm beginning to think the excitement is out distancing my interest. Do you know what I mean? But anyway, thanks for giving me a chance to talk about this. As you know, my usual topics that I consider myself to know something about worth taking the microphone and talking about it is the Federal Reserve and the economy and the banking system and the monetary system. But I've had a strong interest in a lot of other topics as well, and we decided that this year at the annual Congress of Freedom Force International, which is the an organization that I created, and we're trying to push back. We're trying to do something about the things that we're talking about, and not just learning about them. So that's what Freedom Force was all about. But and this year's Congress, which comes up in a couple of weeks, it's the first week of December. We've decided to turn the whole program over to. Well, we have a title for it, which will explain it. It says, Global Warming, an Inconvenient Lie. And that is, of course, mm-hmm. the theme. It's turned the global warming myth-makers livid. I mean, they've come unglued to think that we have the audacity to stand up and put on a big public event. I mean, this is big, as you'll see in a moment, and try and expose their myths and their lies and their hoaxes. And the reason we picked that is because, if you think about it, so much that's going on in the destruction of our country today is justified supposedly as an effort to stop global warming. I mean, all the carbon taxes that are coming down, you know, all the controls against industry, all the personal controls that are being put on our personal lives, the smart meters, and all everywhere you look, dig down deep enough and you see it's all because we must do these things supposedly to save the planet against this catastrophic global warming. And so we decided to strike at the root of it for a change instead of talking about Agenda 21, for example, very important, but why is Agenda 21 upon us? It's because it's supposed to be environmentally necessary to save the planet. So that's what we're doing, and I appreciate the chance to talk about it. We've decided to put together what we call a weapon of mass instruction on this, and we brought together some of the world leaders in the scientific community who are going to expose this myth. I think everybody's heard about Lord Monckton from the UK.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, he'll be there, and his topic is global warming is a monstrous hoax, and he's quite an expert on it. He's one of the leaders of the Brexit movement, of course, but he's got a very strong background and interest in the global warming fraud. We've got Professor William Happer. He's a professor at Princeton University in the field of atomic physics, optics, and spectroscopy. I'll get it out right. And anyway, he's quite an expert on this field. His topic is the real inconvenient truth, which is CO2 does not cause global warming. And believe me, it does not. The science behind that is so clear and so obvious, and he's going to talk about that. We have another professor, Tim Ball. He's a retired professor at the University of Winnipeg in Canada.
Yes.
And he'll be talking about global warming as the biggest deception in history. And he's, man, if you've seen any of his videos or heard any of his lectures on the Internet, He nails it. He just nails it. He's got all the facts and figures. And
I've had him on many, many times on my show. He's a wealth of information. He even talked to my Sociology 101 students at one time via Skype.
Their
questions. He's such a great guy. Do you know, he was one of the first guys to get it. I think he was the first guy in Canada to get a degree in a climatology-related field, and he totally debunks it today.
Oh, yeah, of course. All these, there's so many scientists and academics who at first, you know, thought that global warming was the real thing because of the propaganda that came out in the scientific community itself through journals and through this IPCC, the United Nations organization supposedly devoted to this. And so a lot of professors and teachers and academics and scientists said, oh, well, I guess that's the case. But once they got to looking into it, I mean, almost all of them have peeled away from that position now, except the ones that are on the payroll of some institution that's dependent on the government. Those are about the only people that hang on to it. So anyway, we have another, we got Patrick Wood, he's going to be there. He's the author of the book Technocracy, Tyranny Pretending. Tyranny Pretending to Be Science, you know. A tyranny pretending to be science. I wouldn't say tyrants at first, but it's all the same thing. He's got it nailed. Dan Happel is going to be there. He's from Madison County, Montana. He's a former county commissioner there, but he's got a strong background in the UN Agenda 21, and he'll be talking about that. And of course, I'll be there. I'll be talking about why these people are telling these lies. I have to say it the way it is. It's not that they're mistaken. I used to think, well, they just, if somebody just explains it to them, they'll say, oh gosh, I didn't know that, and they change their position. But now I realize that, no, they know exactly what they're doing. They know it's not the truth, and they have an agenda, and that's why they're doing it. I'll be talking about what that agenda is. And it goes on and on. Alex Newman is a new name to me. Maybe you know about him, David, but he's a journalist, and he's been talking about the impact of propaganda in our schools, and he's got it nailed in how they're selling this global warming hoax to all the kids, and they're scared to death. They think the planet is going to end, and they've got this emotional set for it, and he'll be talking about that and the fact that global warming has become more like a religion than a science. And it just goes on. Jim Lee is another new name to me, weather modification expert. If you go to his website, I mean, he's just loaded. He's the kind of a guy that I really like. He'll dig down and find documents that were supposed to be buried, that you're not supposed to find. He's very good at finding those. And they just blow the lid off of this whole hoax. And he'll be talking about weather modification for war and profit. And we have another very interesting speaker. Elaine Willman will be there, and she's a Native American, and she'll be talking about, this is her title, Native Americans, Pawns in the Agenda 21 Game. And she's written a book called Going to Pieces, The Dismantling of the United States. And it's all about how this movement to convert the United States into a socialist subdivision of the UN, and they're using the American Indian tribes as a means to drive apart the geographical regions of the United States into subdivisions which can be recognized by the United Nations as nations in themselves. In other words, they're really trying to dismantle the U.S. as a physical entity. And it goes
really synchronicity, Ed. We talked, I had Doug Hagman on the first hour, and we talked extensively about that topic, about the breakup. There's 5 breakup plans underway right now. Tell us, just to give us a little teaser here, tell us how she's promoting the use of, or the misuse of, Native American tribes, and how they'd be contributing in some unknowing way to the breakup of America.
Well, the basic story, of course, is something she should tell, but my understanding of it, having read her book and talking to her, is that the tribes have fallen into the hands of tribal leaders who do not necessarily represent the interests of the tribes anymore. In other words, they're being seduced by lots of money and power. I mean, the arrival of the casino age in the tribal communities has converted the leadership of many of the tribes into profit-seeking and power-seeking little political units. And she's very upset by that because as a Native American herself, she sees that all of this concentration of power at the tribal leadership is not in the best interests of her people. And she sees it as part of political impropriety, to say the least. And so the people who are behind this breakup movement, who are not American Indians at all, or American, original Americans, but they're using that tribal entity and that tribal instinct as a kind of a cover for promoting their breakup plans or their subdivision plans. They're actually using the leadership of these tribes, who have a self-interest of their own, to do the work of the internationalists. And I'm sure those guys, the Indians, don't know that. I mean, they just think that they're going to do something that's going to put more money in their pocket and give them more power over water and land distribution and local governments and that kind of thing. So they see it as self-interest. But in reality, they're being used as pawns, because once they serve their purpose in helping to break apart geographically the United States, then they'll just simply be snuffed out. That won't, they will have served their purpose and they'll be gone. They don't realize that. So it's a power play that's very vicious, it's very subtle, and most people have no idea that it's going on.
That is, this is one that is new to me, Ed. I'm looking at things like CalExit, La Raza, and the Reconquista de Atzalan, and those plans. I know the Native Americans are being plundered on their reservations for their natural resources, but I did not know this was part of the plot to break up America geographically. That's something I'm going to have to look into. That's worth the price of admission right there. I want to get into a couple topics with you, but before we leave, and then we'll sum up here at the end, the conference is in Phoenix. And it's in 2 weeks, if I'm not mistaken, December 2nd through the 4th.
That's right.
Is that correct?
That's correct.
And I've got a web address here, and let me give that out. So everyone get your pencils handy here, and I'll give it out again at the end. freedomforceinternational.org. And if you put that in, you'll make your way, and there's instructions there on how to register. Is that right, Ed?
Yeah, it's all there. FreedomForceInternational.org will get you to the homepage of the organization, and there's a big notice on the front page that says, "Click here to go to information about the Global Warming and Inconvenient Lie Conference." So that'll take you right to it. And if you forget that, here's another way to go to the same page, which is inconvenientlie.com. That's a lot simpler.
I like that.
So, either way, we'll get you to the same place. And, it's at the Marriott Phoenix Tempe at the Buttes. They call it the Tempe at the Buttes. But it's
not real far from ASU's, Arizona State University's campus, about five-minute ride down the road. Yeah. Beautiful area there. I'm real familiar with the area. Mountainous, very, very pretty. Very affluent part of town, so you don't need to take your gun or anything. There's going to be no Democrats there. And sorry about the pejority, but these people actually work for a living. Live over there.
Yeah, and there'll be no crazy Republicans there either. There'll just be people who have put all their politics aside, and they're there to learn about this horrible, devastating hoax called global warming. And
absolutely.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. It's not politics. It's one of the greatest hoaxes of the world, and it's being used quite effectively against the American people to convince them that they have to give up their liberties, their freedoms, control over their property, and pay crushing taxes. Why? Because we have global warming, you understand? And if we don't have government controlling us and controlling everything, why then the climate will destroy the planet and our grandchildren will die. That's the sort of thing that's going on, and it's a hoax.
Oh, it is a hoax. No question it's a hoax.
There's no question, no. And but yet, I guarantee you that if you went up and down the streets in the average neighborhood, most people will look at you like, oh, no, it can't be a hoax, because I hear about it every day on the news that, you know, the Arctic snow is melting and the islands are getting inundated by rising water and all of these lies. We'll talk about those. Those are lies, every one of them. And just to give you a quick insight, I mentioned this the other day in an article I wrote, and I got attacked for, how dare you say that the islands are not getting inundated by water? And I said, well, they are, but it's not because the icebergs are melting and raising the sea level. It's because the islands are sinking. Well, they never heard of that, and they thought I was a lunatic with a tin hat, so I had to provide the evidence, the scientific papers that show that the tectonic plates out there in the Pacific are moving. One plate is moving across the other one, and the one with the islands on it is moving down underneath the other one, and it's gradually pushing these islands down. This is scientific evidence. It's proven. It's documented. And yet, you know, you never read about that in the newspaper. All you hear is that the water is rising around these islands. People are losing their homes. And see, the sea is rising, and New York is going to be covered in a few years, and so is Los Angeles. And it's all a hoax. It's all distorted science, and we can prove it.
Well, I know you can prove it, because I am so familiar with the work of Tim Ball. And in fact, I'm going to have to give him a buzz. Welcome. I'm going to have to mosey down there. Pat Wood and I have had a professional and personal relationship going back years. In fact, he's been on this show a lot talking about technocracy. That's frightening itself. You know, Ed, you know where I get the idea that this is just a bunch of hooey is the idea of carbon trading, that the Earth is in such a dire state that we have to limit people's energy usage, including businesses. But if you're rich enough, you can buy your way out of the limitations. If it's a crisis, why would we allow anyone to buy their way out of anything?
Well, that's, of course, it. That the plan is not to reduce carbon at all. It's merely to put a price tag on it and cause those who are using it to cough up huge amounts of money. So now they have money to play with. They didn't solve the so-called carbon dioxide problem, and that is not the problem, but they have everybody convinced of it. We're going to show at this meeting that CO2 is our friend. It's not our enemy. We could use a lot more of it, actually, and it would be helpful to the planet and helpful to human beings, both. Instead of being an enemy, we should be encouraging the increase in CO2, but you're not going to hear any of that either, you know? Anyway, it's all propaganda, and if we don't expose this myth, we're all going to fall under the heel of the tyrants, and we have to stop it.
Yeah, well, stopping it or retarding it, what do you think Donald Trump is going to be about when it comes to Agenda 21? Do you have a feeling for that?
No, I don't. I think Mr. Trump, you know, is sort of, well, he's certainly not part of the establishment. We know that. But I think Mr. Trump will be more apt to come on the side against global warming if there is a popular uprising to demand it. Whereas I think Hillary Clinton would never have done it at all, regardless of how much popular pressure there was, because she's committed to it. So it's our job to build public opinion. And then I think the politicians, many of them that aren't already bought completely, they'll follow along. It's up to us to create that kind of pressure.
I think you're right on the money with that, but you're right. Donald Trump on this one, he'll be swimming uphill in Washington, D.C. against this. He's definitely going against the stream. So yeah. He's got to have popular support. And this is why I think conferences like yours are so important. And when I talked to Chris, I said, you know, we got to get this out here. I mean, we got to let people know. So we're talking about a conference that's in Tempe, Phoenix boundary, actually the Marriott Phoenix, December 2nd through the 4th, so just under 2 weeks from now. And it's called The Global Warming, an Inconvenient Lie. And you can get there to the website to register, freedomforceinternational.org. You know, Ed, you really have an all-star cast. It's incredible. I've only had one conversation with Lord Monckton. He was visiting someone in Colorado debunking global warming in the Fort Collins area. And, man, I was mesmerized in that conversation. And Tim Ball, same thing. I mean, their guests that you have are absolutely phenomenal here. You know, and you kind of turned away from, I don't know if you turned away from it, but you moved your attention slightly away from the Federal Reserve to this. Do you agree with Pat Wood that under global warming and technocracy and so forth, energy will be the new money?
I believe that that could well be it, yes. But I have not turned away from the Federal Reserve at all. It just happens to be that I have another interest, and this came to the surface right now. And at the moment, I'm giving it, you know, pretty much my total attention. But I think for the next 50 years or thereabout, the fiat monetary system is still going to be very much with us. And if it weren't for fiat money, none of this global warming business would be able to be pushed, because right now they still need money to pay off their operations around the world to promote this lie that costs money, and that's how
Absolutely.
They get their money. They get it from the central banks.
Well, I see that you have Debbie Bacigalupi on as well too, and we've interviewed her a couple times here on this show.
Yes.
So,
yeah, I didn't
wow.
get to her. I hated to stop before I got to her, but she, that's right.
Well, you got such an all-star lineup here. I don't think we had enough time.
Well, we don't
go through
no.
them all.
Yeah, Debbie will be talking about the smart growth, the depopulation of rural America. It's very important. And you think it only affects rural America. No, it affects cities, too, because they want to bring them all together and rack them up and stack them up in high-rise apartments in the city so they can watch them and control them. And so, yeah, we've got her and of course, Willie Soon, we just made arrangements. We're going to be videotaping him outside of the Congress because he has a conflict. But he'll be part of our program nonetheless by video. And Dr. Soon, you know, he's a solar and astrophysics scientist.
Right.
And he's been showing irrefutably that whatever warming there is on the planet is related to solar activity, nothing else. The solar activity is what triggers the cloud formation. It triggers the heat trapping of the oceans. It triggers everything. It all comes from sun activity, and that's very important. And Dr. István Markó, who is he's overseas. He's in Belgium. You know, he's a professor of chemistry at the Catholic University of Louvain in Belgium, and he's talking about that CO2 is not a health hazard, but it's an essential to the life cycle of plants and humans. And he says that more atmospheric CO2 actually would be healthy for us. And this is a professor; he knows his stuff. Chemistry
is
his business. And so,
Ed, I've got to interject here. I'm sorry, but Ed, we're out of time. We could go.
Okay.
This was too short. You know, when this conference is over, I want to get you back on the show to talk about how that conference went for the people who live too far away and can't attend. And I want to thank you so much for your service to our movement, to our country. You've always been a hero of mine, and it's always an honor to speak with you, and I look forward to having you back on the Common Sense Show.
Well, thank you, David. I appreciate you giving me a chance to talk about this, and anybody that's listening that wants to get the full story, I'd be happy to meet with you in person on December 2 through 4th, and just come to our website,
okay.
And I'll be looking for your enrollment. Thank you again.
Okay, everybody, we are out of here. Thanks for joining us, and thanks to all our guests. Great show. Thanks so much to everybody. We'll see you back here again real soon. God bless.